So, as Anne mentioned, I'm from the National Association of Public Hospitals and Health Systems, and today I'll just talk a little bit about who we are, who our hospitals are, who they serve, and some of their strategies to serve immigrants after healthcare reform. So, caring for their communities, how safety net health systems address immigrant healthcare. That's the title here. So, just so that we're on the sort of the same playing field here, because there are so many definitions for safety net and safety net hospital, how we define it at NAPH is it's as follows. So the Institute of Medicine's 2000 report, America's Healthcare Safety Net, Intact but Endangered, defines core safety net providers as having two distinguishing characteristics. One, by legal mandate or explicitly adopted mission, they maintain an open door, offering patients access to services regardless of their ability to pay. And secondly, a substantial share of their patient mix is uninsured, Medicaid, and other vulnerable populations. And they're often, very importantly, healthcare providers of first resort for immigrant groups of virtually every ethnic and language background. So in terms of our members, they do all of these things. They care for the uninsured. As I mentioned previously, they serve as first receivers in emergency situations, as a lot of the uninsured use the emergency departments as their primary care physicians. They offer essential community services, trauma, burn, and neonatal. And a lot of our members and a lot of safety net hospitals are often where doctors find, you know, training opportunities. And importantly, they are also integrated delivery systems. So NAPH has approximately 72 dues-paying hospitals and/or health systems, and this includes together about 199 facilities. Membership includes, as I mentioned earlier, major academic medical centers, large public municipal centers such as the New York City hospital system, county systems with responsibility for public health such as Cambridge Health Alliance, one of our biggest systems. Also, some shared characteristics are that they are all not-for-profit, have an open-door mission, as I mentioned before, and most have higher than national average of Medicaid and uninsured patients. As a matter of fact, most are teaching hospitals. So just to share briefly with you some statistics about our hospitals. For example, our hospitals represent about 2% of the acute care hospitals in the nation, but they provide about 20% of the uncompensated hospital care nationwide. And when speaking about gross revenues by payer source, and this is data from fiscal year 2010, as you can see, commercial represents about 23%, uninsured, mostly unreimbursed represents about 19%, Medicare 26%, Medicaid 28%, and then there's the other category, which includes such things as DSH, or disproportionate hospital allotments, and that represents about, as I said, 4%. So who are our patients? About 42% of them are white, 27% black, 25% Hispanic or Latino. Only about 3% Asian or Pacific Islander, and about 3% other, and this includes such ethnicities as the Haitian population, for example, with our hospital system in Miami, Florida. So, in with the research that we did in preparation for this this conference, we realized that, you know, sort of in addition to the other efforts that we've done, NAPH members really need little additional preparation for the ACA. Most of our member hospitals, health systems provide services regardless of immigrant status. And this is what they all say, is just consistent with their mission. And in fact, many of them do not even ask the question of immigrant status. Many of them are already serving undocumented with the same level of care and providing extensive language and cultural competency services and training their staff, and have been training their staff for a number of years. And as a matter of fact, some are trying to be more efficient about enrolling their patients in Medicaid, and they're finding creative solutions. Actually, I'll speak briefly about Jackson Health Center, which is located in Miami, Florida, on the next slide. They're a good example of this. I would like to just share that hospitals we know are anticipating a drop in volume after the ACA. We spoke to a few of our members about this, and this is especially with regard to emergency care, and this includes things like co-pays, reasons, lack of access to primary care, et cetera. And so all of these things will still have people seeking care through the emergency department. So the undocumented will still seek emergency department care as their primary source of care, we anticipate, after the ACA. But some of our hospitals, many of them, are working to decompress their emergency departments through developing urgent care clinics, and they're doing this through their outpatient clinics. So I mentioned Jackson Health System. They're located in Miami, Florida, and here are a few statistics on them. So in 2010, they had about 216,000 emergency department visits, about 261,000 outpatient visits, and approximately 15% of their inpatient visits are undocumented immigrants, and these are the highest cost patients. And this is estimated to be about 18,000 per year. But they're doing some really innovative things. So they developed a repatriation strategy that has actually helped over 80 people find services in their country of origin. So as I mentioned earlier, many of our hospitals don't collect data on immigrant status. Well, Jackson actually uses a third-party Medicaid screening process, and that provider is very thorough and accurate. They go in your home, they, as it was explained to us, they really seek to, one, make sure that services can be provided, but also that the hospital, is seeking all of its reimbursement possible. So just a little more on the repatriation strategy. So this strategy is focused on complex, high utilization cases. And to do this, the hospital actually took existing staff to create a complex discharge team. And this team develops discharge plans and actually locates doctors to continue care in the countries of origin. So they don't just relocate immigrants. And as part of this, they've developed relationships with consulates in different countries. And this is justified financially, fiscally, because the costs of the initiative really translate to significant savings when compared to what it would cost to provide care to these patients. The New York City Health and Hospitals Corporation, this is one of our larger, I think actually one of our largest health systems in our membership. It includes 11 hospitals throughout New York City, and it provides services to all immigrants, as I said, without question of their legal status. And approximately 25% of their patients have limited English proficiency. For example, in 2012, the system provided services to a population that encompassed more than 140 different dialects and languages. And so what they're doing to really prepare for this, as they anticipate, as health reform comes, they'll only have more dialects and languages to deal with. They're actually providing their staff free training, and they're working with local community colleges and local training centers to train their staff. So despite options, Safety Nets will continue providing free services after health care reform. So though DSH funding is expected to decrease after ACA full implementation, this funding will still be available. Also, the Medicare Modernization Act, Section 1011 funding will still be available. So for those of you not familiar with the Medicaid Modernization Act, Section 1011, this program was actually established in 2005. It provides federal funding for emergency health services furnished to undocumented immigrants. And this program provided about $250 million per year for 3 years to hospitals, certain physicians, and ambulance providers so that they could recoup their costs. Now, the program was not reauthorized, and it ended in 2008, but states that didn't use all of their funding, and there are several out there, are still allowed to use that funding. However, hospitals could not draw down that funding because as a condition of drawing down the funding, they had to know what the immigrant population consisted of, and many don't ask that question, so sort of did themselves a bit of a disservice in that regard. And if you have any questions, my contact information. Thank you.